At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. A Monday to look back on the weekend that was in sports, and namely on a Sunday slate in the National Football League, and a great one in week number 11. A game of the year in Western New York between the Bills and the Chiefs. A battle for supremacy in the AFC North in the Steel City between those bitter rivals, the Steelers and the Ravens, and every other result that you need to know. Now, firmly in the second half of this 2024 NFL season, we'll go back to Saturday, third to final Saturday of this college football regular season, action around the association, college hoops, all of that and more DRS over these 3 hours, bright and early on a Monday morning to start off a new week.
Deliverance. That's what we got on Sunday yesterday. The 1 p.m. card, we're in anticipation of a great game between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. We got that. We were waiting on that 4:25 game from Buffalo and Kansas City. We got that. The Sunday night game was absolutely the dynamite stick on both sides with two quarterbacks absolutely letting it rip. And sometimes, as we say, man, the kickers are really going to ruin this game, and they did on Sunday Night Football. If you were a Cincinnati backer, I thoroughly enjoyed yesterday. The winners were there. The excitement was there. The weather was there. And by the way, I just want to say something. As the weatherman here on the Sports Grid Network, please, we have had the best weather season in college football and professional football that we have ever seen here. Love to see it. Points all across the board. Let's get after it.
Been very dry around the Northeast. Not a lot of precipitation that leads to fast track. So as we look back on a Sunday, let's start in Orchard Park. The game that was promised in week number 11, a game of the year potential between the undefeated Chiefs entering and the 8-2 Buffalo Bills. Make that 9-2 Buffalo and 9-1 Kansas City. The Bills and the Chiefs, their first loss of the year with some theatrics and heroics from Josh Allen in the final 2 minutes of regulation. A 26-yard touchdown run on 4th-and-2 in KC territory puts the Bills in front for good. Buffalo again handing KC its first loss of the year, 30-21. Buffalo covers as a 2.5-point home favorite.
Sean McDermott read the novel, Ben. The reason why I say that is you don't kick that field goal on 4th down to go up 5 points. You know that's a stone-cold loser move. And the fact that he goes, you know what? We're not throwing this football. I'm basically going to put it in my quarterback's hand. If that first read isn't there, just run. And run he did, Josh Allen, right into the end zone and knocks off the Chiefs for the first time this season. What a fantastic game. When the performance is needed from your superstar quarterback and he delivers, it's so much more sweet that way.
And the total was only 47 and a hook. Maybe not what you would consider for a Buffalo-Kansas City game. It does go over. We'll talk about that game and its ramifications around the AFC in just a matter of moments. A wild Sunday night football game in Los Angeles inside SoFi Stadium. Midway through the third quarter, the Chargers in control against the Bengals, up by 3 touchdowns, 27-6. Then Cincinnati scores 3 consecutive touchdowns. touchdowns on three straight offensive drives to tie the game at 27. Cincy now in pole position. Multiple opportunities to take the lead late in the fourth quarter, but the guy known as Money Mac, not so money last night, misses two field goals from 48 yards and 51 yards out, which allows LA an opportunity at the end to drive into Bengals territory, and J.K. Dobbins breaks off a long touchdown run for the game winner in the final half minute of regulation. 34-27. The Bolts win a Sunday night thriller to end out the Week 11 Sunday slate.
And normally, Ben, I would tell me a little bit about this Ladd McConkey kid. Never seen him before. How's he this dominant out here? Six catches, 123 yards. I love that. Ben, you know this. I love this Charger team. They are coached so extremely well. When they need Justin Herbert to press down the gas pedal, he can do it. 17 of 36, which wasn't efficient, but he was letting it fly downfield for 297 and two touchdown passes. Dobbins gets in twice in this game. I loved everything I saw from the Chargers, but also keep in mind, the Cincinnati Bengals are 4-7. They're on life support here. I said they had to go 1-2 in this three. 1-2 in this three-game stretch. They're 0-2 now, but they have a bye week in the Steelers coming on deck. That is a must-win. But boy, are they fun. T. Higgins 9-for-148. Jamar Chase 7-for-75 and two scores, and still screaming at the end of the game that he should be getting the football more. And who could say no? 28-for-50, 356, three touchdowns, and no interceptions, and a running back that ran for 86 yards. That's got to be a win, and you ended up with a loss.
And that's kind of where the season has been defined, DRS, for Cincinnati, when the defense has had to make a play, make a stop, make a stand. In fact, they have been Swiss cheese. The Chargers win. LA is now 7-3. They were just a point and a half home favorite last night in SoFi. They have covered in six of those seven victories. Battle for the top spot in the AFC North, and it lived up to the billing. Maybe not the high-scoring affair the total entering might have suggested at 49.5, but Pittsburgh makes a stop on a two-point conversion with just over a minute as Lamar was trying to find anybody open in the end zone. Not able to do so. Pittsburgh is now 8-2. The Steelers have won five straight, and it's the Steelers atop the AFC North with a game and a half lead over Baltimore, 18-16, in a great AFC North battle on Sunday.
Is there any other way than an 18-16 victory for the Pittsburgh Steelers as a home dog, which Mike Tomlin and the Steelers love to be there? And by the way, there's two things I want to point out. I could run laps here and say, you know, Russ was cooking yesterday. Yeah, maybe it was on low boil, barely able to, like, you know, get any heat out there. But they won a football game with Russell Wilson throwing an interception, which was a bad one in the red zone. Got sacked four times. He had a QBR rating, Ben, of 14 yesterday, and they still won. It shows you that the Steelers team is now winning with scoring high numbers, which they've done the past couple weeks, and then winning a game in the division with 18 points on the board when your quarterback doesn't play all that well and your defense comes up with the stops when they needed to come up with the stops here. And by the way, one of the best kickers in football now is no longer in Baltimore. He missed two yesterday. How about my guy from Pittsburgh knocking down all 18 points, six field goals in that game? You absolutely have to love it. When you're talking about special teams and you're talking about get after, usually it's the opposite side with the Baltimore Ravens. Yesterday it was Boswell, the king.
Field goal kicking on display on Sunday. Justin Tucker missing two that normally he is automatic on. And to Donnie's point, the Steelers winning without a touchdown. Perfect 6-for-6 for Chris Boswell, including three from 50 plus. So we're talking about the Steelers in a big win. And the Bills had the Chiefs their first loss. And the Chargers look legit on Sunday night. But I'm not sure any of those teams are the best in the NFL. It's probably the Detroit Lions. 52 points again as the Lions hammer the Jags. 52-6, easily covering as the largest favorite of this season in the National Football League, laying 13.5 at home in the Motor City.
I have 12 NFC championship bets on the Detroit Lions. Why am I angry this morning? I should have just taken 12 bets to win the Super Bowl and the Lions. They are that good right now. When they have you down, they will kick you and smash you and pulverize you. It's a shame Doug Peterson will lose his job over that game, but it just shows you a couple times this year, the Detroit Lions, when they want to score and they want to embarrass you, they can very easily do that, and they did that yesterday.
College football news quickly. Georgia bounces back in a game they had to have between the hedges, handing Tennessee its second loss of the year, 31-17. Georgia covers as an 8.5-point favorite at home. The number one team in the country on the road in Madison survives. Oregon rallies late in the fourth quarter to squeak past the Badgers 16-13.
Where's that dairy raid at when you need them, Ben? Oops, no more dairy raid up in Wisconsin. Tough scene.
Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator, was fired yesterday evening. The Cleveland Cavaliers continue their historic start to this year, becoming the fourth team ever in the history of the NBA to begin a season 15-0. Settle into the armchair. We look back on Sunday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game of the year number 3 in week number 11 of this 2024 NFL season in the AFC rivalry of the past half decade that has been the Buffalo Bills, led by Josh Allen, and the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Patrick Mahomes. Of course, neither season defined by a week 11 regular season game that will come in the playoffs, but a monumental matchup yesterday in Western New York, and it was a great game, back and forth in the fourth quarter. KC cutting into Buffalo's lead, making it a contest. Fourth and two at the 26-yard line of the Chiefs with just over 2 minutes remaining in regulation. Would they try to go for the field goal to just extend the lead to make sure Kansas City needed to score a touchdown to beat them? They say no, and Josh Allen says, thank you very much. 26-yard scamper to Pater to put Buffalo ahead for good, 30-21. The Bills and Kansas City, its first loss of the season, with the 30-21 victory, the Bills covering as a 2.5-point home favorite.
It's funny how the week progresses, Ben, right? For me, as soon as that line came out, I was like, that's a Buffalo spot. Absolutely, Buffalo's going to win this football game. Can't wait to watch it play out. And as the week goes on, you're like, boy, look at all these injuries for the Buffalo Bills. They actually have what it takes here. You know, Amari Cooper, who knows if he's even going to play. He did play, made a big catch in that game on a one-hand stab for about a 30-yard catch. And then you're saying, okay, what about the other wide receiver, the youngster? Keon Coleman, obviously going to be out for quite a while with that wrist injury. You take a look at maybe your top tight end in Dalton Kincaid. He's not going to play. And I said later in the week, this is a game that Kansas City probably wins. Getting points on the road here, I know they're going to be a public side because anytime you have Kansas City getting points with Patrick Mahomes, I can't fault you for taking them. You come out and take a look right on halftime. Yep, they're right in that wheelhouse here. But shout out, the play of the game was not actually Josh Allen running it into the end zone. The play of the game was actually the play call that allowed Josh Allen to run into the end zone, because I know a lot of talking heads would have been upset today. If you went for that on fourth down, you didn't get it, and Patrick Mahomes goes down the field and the Chiefs kick a field goal and beat you, people would have been screaming, that's why you kicked the field goal, that's why you make it a 5-point game. Let me tell you something right now. If they kick that field goal, and I know it's never going to play out, we're never going to know. In my mind, the Chiefs win that football game and go right down the field and punch it in for a touchdown, because you've seen it hundreds of times, it feels like. I love the fact that Sean McDermott understood the task at hand was to throw the haymaker that finally knocks out the 9-0 Kansas City Chiefs, and that's not a field goal. That's getting the first down, at least bleeding the clock more, let alone score a touchdown to go up 9 points where there was no way the Kansas City Chiefs could win that game. Shout out Sean McDermott, who I know has been under fire a little bit here. That was a perfect play call in the right situation, understanding the task, Ben.
I completely agree, DRS. Keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. Yep. And if anybody should know that better than most, it is Buffalo. We all know 13 seconds and what that means for both of these NFL franchises. Yesterday, Buffalo trusted in Josh Allen, and Josh Allen made good on that reward. The Bills have won 6 consecutive games. They have covered in 5 of those 6. Buffalo is now 9-2. KC DRS, first loss of the year. First loss for the Chiefs overall since Christmas Day, nearly 11 months a year ago. Kansas City also entered since the start of last year perfect, 5-0 straight up as an underdog. Mahomes as a starter in his NFL career, 11-3 entering yesterday, straight up as a dog, 12-1-1 against the spread. Not an outright victory, not even a cover. And DRS, we'll talk big picture for this game and its actual impact, because Buffalo, I think correctly, tried to diminish its importance in years past when Buffalo has been ousted from the postseason by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Everybody has circled that regular season game the following campaign and said, that's Buffalo's Super Bowl. The Bills understand their season not defined by a fifth consecutive AFC East title. They know it will happen in the postseason. And as Josh Allen said after the game, speaking with CBS's Tracy Wolfson, listen, it's another week 11 game, and knowing how these things play out, we might see them again come the postseason. Again, that's the outlook moving forward. Let's talk about the quarterbacks a little bit as well. Josh Allen, 317 total yards. Buffalo's leading rusher in the game-winning score from 26 yards out. Patrick Mahomes, multiple interceptions once again. Three touchdown tosses, but two INTs and less than 200 yards, DRS, through the air against this Bills banged-up defense.
Yeah, can't fault him for the last one. Just trying to make a play downfield. It ends up getting interception. Happens a lot. But that first one that he had, which really was a tone setter for that Buffalo defense, getting pressure on him. We've seen Patrick Mahomes make crazier plays than he did, but going down, throwing the football up in the air, missed his wide receiver, and ended up in the interception. But also, Patrick Mahomes still threw three touchdown passes. Here's what's missing. And I understand that in the NFL, yes, there is a salary cap. And I know they've won Super Bowls and they passed over when Tyreek Hill, when they traded him. They're just not as explosive right now. And one of the more key plays in this game too, Ben, if you remember early on, Xavier Worthy was really getting after it, but he had a 40-plus yard play on a wide-open pass that he drug his feet too early, then made the catch and got one out of bounds, which led to them actually punting the football on that drive as opposed to on the drive for more points at that point. We understand the Kansas City Chiefs in the past used to get really, in a game-to-game basis, they have extra opportunities because of how explosive they are. They're not as explosive, so now you see key plays that can be made that weren't made, now resulting in losses. The Chiefs are a really good football team. They're probably still going to hold down the number one overall seed when it's all said and done. But we've been watching that tightrope for so long. We saw that animation if you're watching the game yesterday. They live on the edge, and finally, they fell off the edge.
The margin of victory for KC, 9 out of 10 wins, just 4.9, ninth best in the NFL this year. 7 of 9 wins decided by a single score. But now to how this impacts the outlook the rest of the way. Donnie, does this define the season? Is Kansas City no longer a Super Bowl or AFC favorite because they lose in Buffalo? Of course not. I think the most impactful result from yesterday's outcome is the odds to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. Kansas City near a $4 price entering week 11. It's now minus 185. Kansas City still the best record, but Buffalo back by just a half game and would have the head-to-head tiebreaker advantage.
Yeah, Buffalo's got some tough games coming up. They have a reeling San Francisco 49ers team, but also down the line at Detroit will be a tough one. If we look at the Chiefs, they'll be able to lick their wounds. Why? Next two games, Ben, Panthers, Raiders. They'll be right back up there on everybody's favorite list after these next 2 weeks.
I would agree with you, DRS. We'll go elsewhere around the NFL to the AFC North next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There is no question that Kansas City visiting Buffalo with where it stands in the marquee was the game of Sunday and a game of the year potential. And it was a great one in Western New York. But as both teams told you, entering and exiting the game, its actual ramifications, its impact, not nearly as great as the public might make it out to be. The postseason would define, of course, what both happens to Kansas City and Buffalo. The game that really felt significant in the game that had a direct impact in trying to win a division, that was in Pittsburgh yesterday. A battle for the top spot in the AFC North between the Ravens and the Steelers. Baltimore, 3-point road favorite in the Steel City. And as the Steelers do better than anybody else, they win outright as a home underdog. 18-16, Pittsburgh triumphs. They have won 5 games in a row, all 4 with Russell Wilson under center as the starting quarterback. And DRS, although it looked like your classic AFC North rivalry between the Ravens and the Steelers, the over-under entering was 49.5, expecting it to be a shootout. It stays well under. On this 5-game win streak, the Steelers have covered in all 5. 4 times this year, DRS, Pittsburgh has been booked as an underdog. They have won outright in all 4 games.
It's just what they do. They now sit at 8-2. And by the way, I think a lot of people expected more points than 34, including myself. Lamar Jackson, 207 yards passing. Russell Wilson, 205. Not a lot of electricity in the air. But the one thing that always stands out, like if you're telling me before the game starts, Baltimore is going to run for 6.5 yards per carry, that usually means that's a smashing by the Baltimore Ravens, because you know MVP Lamar probably showed up with a couple touchdown passes. Only had one yesterday, accompanied with one interception. This was just the way we've always seen this rivalry. It's back and forth. It's rock'em sock'em. It's close ball games. Somebody's got to pull it out. But so many times in the past, those close games get pulled out by field goal kickers. And always, the field goal kicker that we choose is typically on the Baltimore Ravens. Still, he's missing field goals, and it's still like on a week-to-week basis, Ben. We take a look at Justin Tucker, and he's still the most accurate field goal kicker in the history of the league. So anytime you're listening on the radio or watching on TV where you have the Baltimore Ravens with a field goal of 55 or closer, you could just shut the TV off for the radio knowing it's good. Not anymore. Like, he's human at this point. And then on the opposite side, Boswell's been phenomenal. Even in the post-game press conferences now, you know, Tomlin's having fun. Like, look, it's all fine and good that my guy keeps getting, you know, special teams player of the week, but I would like him never to win that again, which means we're executing on offense and defense, which is kind of funny how it works out, but you take the wins anywhere you get them. The Steelers at 8-2. Mike Tomlin's on another heater this year in the regular season.
And Pittsburgh got a win without scoring a single touchdown because of Chris Boswell. Field goal kicking the last month, really the entirety of this 2024 NFL season, has defined outcomes and the results of games. If you talk about field goal kicking, to Donnie's point, you always give the advantage to the flock. Justin Tucker has looked human. It's like seeing one of the greats start to fall off. It feels uncomfortable. Yesterday, 1 of 3. His field goal percentage this year is sub 79%. It's the career low in his time in the NFL. Meanwhile, Chris Boswell, a perfect 6-4-6, scored all 18 points for the Steelers. 3 of them DRS from 50 yards or deeper yesterday. It is a way the Steelers have found to win. But because it was just field goals, it felt like when Lamar and the Ravens had scored both of their touchdowns, like, oh, my God, the Ravens are going to find a way to win this game. Lamar connects with Zay Flowers from 16 yards out with 1:06 remaining in regulation. 2-point conversion unable to be converted. And DRS, we talked about this. Stat entering the game, a trend. Since John Harbaugh arrived in the Charm City in 2008, the Ravens booked as a field goal favorite or more in a matchup against the Steelers. Now 0-11-2 against the number. When it's a field goal number to decide this game, it does not often work out for the team favored by at least 3 points. Pittsburgh did not enter yesterday's matchup as the AFC North favorites with a 1.5 lead now. The Steelers certainly are at 8-2 and a -160 price to win the divisional crown.
You know what I loved about this game yesterday too, Ben? Obviously, Russell Wilson, the starting quarterback, he should be there. But late in the game, to salt that thing away, they brought in Justin Fields, and I loved it. And they called the perfect play call, which is stupid execution from the quarterback because he slid short of the first down. Like, I really want him to get that first down. Like, look, this is the offense, short yardage situations. This guy can really help you. And then he shows why he can't be your quarterback or be in the game in big situations. Tough one, Justin. Come on now.
We'll talk overall outlook for the entirety of the AFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we continue to recap the Sunday slate. And with hugely impactful games all around the AFC, what it means for the conference and Super Bowl outlook at the end of 11 weeks in just a little bit. DRS, what a game we had on Sunday night. We talked about the Bills and the Chiefs, the Steelers and the Ravens. Maybe you entered your Sunday week 11 being like, why are these games not Sunday night football? Why is it the Chargers and the Bengals? That game turned out to maybe be the craziest of the day. The Chargers outlast the Bengals in the final 30 seconds of regulation, 34-27. LA led 27-6, up by three touchdowns midway through the third quarter. Cincinnati then scores three consecutive touchdowns on three straight offensive possessions to even the game. Then it was the Bengals, Donnie, in pole position, in that driver's seat. Money Mac. Evan McPherson, two opportunities to put Cincinnati ahead in the fourth quarter, misses them both from 48 and 51 yards, but it's inside a dome in SoFi. No excuses whatsoever for the Chargers to take control in the final minute of regulation. Two passes, 55 yards to your guy, Ladd McConkey, looking like DRS back in the day at WP. Mm-hmm. And then J.K. Dobbins seals the win for the Bolts. A 29-yard touchdown run with under 25 ticks remaining in regulation. The Chargers win 34-27, covering as a point-and-a-half home favorite.
Two quarterbacks absolutely letting loose on Sunday Night Football. It was an awesome game. And anybody out there that had prop bets who came away with that game losing money, I don't know how you did it here. 34-27 had everything you needed in that game. Seems like everybody was getting through their number, except I guess you've had some kicking props here on the Cincinnati Bengals. This has happened way too much, and this is why it's tough to try to forecast the Bengals. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in football. Chase Brown coming on looking like a true number one running back now this season. T. Higgins finally healthy, 9 catches for $148 and a score. Jamar Chase unguardable. I know there's a couple missed, you know, assignments there to say the least in the second half that could have been big plays, but still 7 catches, 75 yards, and 2 touchdowns there. And they still lost this game because special teams is still 33% of the game. Offense, defense, special teams. We know the Bengals don't have a great defense, so you have to make up for it with great quarterback play and great wide receiver play. They did that. At times, the defense came up with stops. If you make both of those field goals, you put the pressure on the Los Angeles Chargers late in that game as opposed to a free drive to end it, saying like, hey, let's just see what we can do out here. Worst case scenario, we go to overtime. They were able to capitalize. Herbert was fantastic, but just another game for the Bengals. They let slip away. One of the more talented offenses in the NFL might not be factoring into the playoff run. That's a tough scene in Cincinnati.
DRS, both teams with less than a minute and 48 seconds left got the football back and had to punt it back to the other, leading to the Chargers having that drive at the end that Justin Herbert orchestrated. He was not greatly efficient yesterday, but good when it mattered most, and was LA's leading rusher with 65 yards on the ground. You are right. The Bengals' defense in the second half made plays throughout a good majority of that half to keep Cincinnati afloat, to give the ball back to their best unit in that Joe Burrow-led offense to put up points, claw their way back. It is what they did. But yesterday's game, really emblematic for Cincinnati of the entirety of this season. Claw their way back in a deep hole. Can they figure out a way to win? Offensive numbers that boggle the mind with Joe Burrow at an MVP caliber level, a healthy T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, 2 receiving scores as well. And yet when the defense needed to, at its absolute most, make a play, make a stand, that's where they faltered. 48.5, skies way over. The Bengals have been a hugely over team. The Chargers over in 2 consecutive games. They have only gone over 3 times in their 10 games this year. And we'll talk about Cincinnati in just a moment. But you look at this LA team. And DRS, we talked about this in the offseason after the hire of Jim Harbaugh. Look at wherever he has been, college, NFL. He comes in right away. It doesn't take 2, 3, 4 years to win. He wins right away. He institutes whatever his credo of belief is, and it resonates with an organization, with a program. The Chargers are 7-3. Their win total before the year was 8.5. They were not expected to be a surefire playoff team. They certainly are right now, and they have covered in 6 of those 7 victories.
Absolutely they are. And also, I wanted him to try, talking about Harbaugh, with that talent that they had before they jettisoned it, and understanding that he's a great coach. He's going to implement what he wants as the foundation for the franchise, and it looks fantastic all the way through. Now, granted, that's a tough win against the Bengals. The previous couple wins where it's like, okay, look, a win is a win in the NFL. I get it, but there are different wins. The Saints, yeah, the Browns, and the Titans aren't great wins. That was a very good win. You might say, like, look at that record for the Bengals. That record does not honestly tell you the true story for the Cincinnati Bengals. But moving forward, you will get tested. You know what happens next week? The Ravens come to town. They are going to be angry off that loss. You step up and win that football game. Now you're taking a look at, can they take down just about anybody in the AFC? And I believe they can. They're talented enough and well-coached enough, and that defense can be opportunistic to play around with teams like the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. But you want to step up to the pantheon of people really taking you serious to be an AFC threat. Beat the Ravens next week at home, and we'll talk next week.
NDRS, again, kind of representative of what this season has been for Cincinnati. You look at the numbers for Joe Burrow, 356 yards and three touchdowns. He is the only quarterback in the NFL to throw for more than 2,900 yards this year. He's got better than 3,000. That leads the NFL. He's got 27 touchdown passes to only four INTs. Of course, that is the best in the National Football League. He has the best QBR this year in the NFL, and his Bengals team is 4-7. If for some reason, I'm just going to say this here, you want a flyer on the Bengals, who are in that very large hole and have been all year long, when you start out 0-3 in this millennium, only one team has ever made the postseason. If Joe Burrow and the Bengals can win out, right, and that's probably where they need to be. They probably need to win six consecutive to end out the year, or at least five of six to get above 500 to give themselves even a fighter's chance. 40-1 on Joe Burrow to win the MVP award, because the numbers are there. And the only thing holding him back is Cincinnati's poorest record. That's how I might look at the Bengals if there is any hope, DRS, for Cincinnati to be a playoff team.
You're right about it. And I said in that three-game stretch, which included the Ravens, the Chargers, and the Steelers, they had to get at least one of those wins to keep their playoff hopes alive. Now they're down to one game, but do you have a bye week? And actually, I think they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2 weeks at home. And then you do have layups, Ben. The Cowboys, the Titans, and the Browns. That's going to be three straight layups. And then you're going to start talking about the Bengals as one of those teams, if they get in, you do not want to face. Yeah. But understand this. Yes, you play the Broncos at home. You should win that football game. Broncos are going to be playing for the same playoff spot the Bengals are. Final week of the season, the Steelers. Even if they have things wrapped up, the Steelers are known to still play starters well into those football games and just try to knock you out, because they believe if there's a scoreboard, you should play your starters, and it's the game of football, an old school coach in Mike Tomlin. But let's start with the Steelers. If they win that game, we can start talking about them again. But right now, they had to win one of those past two games. They blew both of those games here, and now there's zero margin for error moving forward.
Squander opportunity, another way to define this season for Cincinnati. So the Chiefs have one loss now to the Buffalo Bills, but remain the AFC championship favorites at plus 220, more than a buck in front of Buffalo. The Ravens are 7-4, plus 370. The Texans and the Steelers tied for that fourth best price at plus 950. And look at the Chargers, 11-1, sixth best price around the AFC. DRS, how are you evaluating the AFC championship odds after week 11?
Topsy-turvy at this point now. You look at those top teams here, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Texans, and Steelers, and now the Chargers put in that pantheon. You can honestly say each one of those teams has a legitimate chance to win. It's not like we look in the NFC right now where the Philadelphia Eagles and maybe Detroit are separating themselves. You can make an argument for any one of those teams to get hot at the right moment with the quarterbacks they have that can win a playoff game. Love the way the AFC is shaping up right now, Ben.
Completely agree. Frankly, I think that Pittsburgh price should be a little bit shorter than it is, but a grueling gauntlet to end the season for the Steelers. A little bit more from the NFC comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So a lot of focus on monumental matchups in the AFC from week 11's Sunday slate. Now we get to the NFC. And man, it just continues to be heartbreak in the Windy City, delivered by the most bitter of rivals in the Green Bay Packers. You give them just a little bit of hope and life to rip it out of their chests, courtesy of a blocked field goal at the buzzer for a second consecutive week, this time from Green Bay's Carl Brooks, as the Packers hold on to win at Soldier Field 20-19. Chicago does cover as a 5.5-point favorite, but when Cairo Santos lined up for a 46-yard field goal as time was expiring to hopefully give the Bears their first win over the bitter rivals and their hated foes of the Packers since 2018, it seemed like it was going to happen, for it only to come crashing down in another heart-breaking and gut-wrenching defeat in Chicago. DRS, a very difficult day for the Bears.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult for me. 16.5 points. Cha-ching. Loved everything I saw from the Bears yesterday. Could care less if they won, but let's get to the real issue here. You made the offensive change, coordinator change for your offense. Caleb Williams was very good yesterday. 23 of 31 measured, 231 in the air. Didn't throw a touchdown pass, but how about the QBR rating? An 83, which is sensational. A passer rating of 95. And we know he's ultra athletic, and he made some great plays with his legs. 9 carries for 70 yards, which he also got a home run touchdown of 39 yards for DeAndre Swift. He finished with 14 for 71. That's got to be good enough to beat the Green Bay Packers. But shout out making the most of your opportunities. 13 completions for Jordan Love equated to 261 passing yards and one touchdown. Jacobs added 76 yards and a touchdown on the ground. But how many times do we say, and I know you can always second guess coaches here, if you're playing for a field goal, Ben, where you're at the 15-yard line, we all understand that. But anything can happen when you're playing with field goals of 40-plus yards to end the football game. And also, if you're worried about handing the football off to a talented running back like DeAndre Swift and saying, like, well, he might fumble the football, what are we doing in the first place here? They still should have made the field goal, absolutely. But put your team in the best possible position to win these football games. I don't think the Bears did that. They made the field goal. We wouldn't say anything about it. But the fact of the matter is, Ben, he didn't make the field goal. He got it blocked. So now we're allowed to second guess Matt Eberflus of how long he's going to be able to keep his job. That was a big win against a rival that you had nailed and you let it get away.
And again, that is why Matt Eberflus is no longer that given name. He is Matt Eberfluser. Because then we saw on Sunday night, immediately, in the same day, a few hours later, what happens when you try to win a football game. Sure, J.K. Dobbins could have slid down at the 1-yard line, and they never would have even given the football back to the Bengals. But when you set your team up for success, you are rewarded. Eberfluser has never done that. And DRS, you are so correct. With Thomas Brown calling the plays for the first time for Chicago, Caleb Williams was so much better. No passing touchdowns, but 231 yards, 70 rushing yards as well. And they finally scored, because before that first TD, they had gone 26 consecutive offensive possessions without finding pay dirt. And on the final drive, on fourth down from his own territory, big time throw. More big time throws to set the team up to only have Eberfluser say, let's settle for a 46-yarder in the Windy City. Idiot. Three of three for 49 yards. That is what Caleb Williams was on the final drive. And Donnie, it's not just me saying this. We have learned in the last 2 weeks how good special teams can be. The Chiefs said it after the game against the Broncos. Leo Chenal said that he noticed that the Broncos' left side of their field goal blocking was porous on PATs earlier in the game. The Packers and Carl Brooks, who got his big mitt on it, said, we were surprised they didn't try to get closer because we knew that Cairo Santos in Chicago tries to penetrate it with a lower ball flight. And thus, if we could get our hand up there, we might have a shot. It would have been more difficult to do if the distance of kicking a field goal wasn't so long. Green Bay wins for the 11th consecutive time against the Bears.
And they moved to 7-3, and that's one of those games where maybe the expectation was midway through it, maybe we can't pull this game out. Now, also credit Jordan Love for getting that touchdown drive, which they didn't get the 2-point conversion, but came all the way back and had a big play from Christian Watson that was basically laying on his back, got up and still ran for a 60-yard play, which was very impressive. Liked what I saw out of Green Bay, but again, another one that let you slip away. You know, leadership here leads you to victories in games like that. And all we keep seeing from Matt Eberflus is, I'm a defensive coordinator. I let this one slip away in Washington, which is my fault for I'm one of the dumbest. Hey, let's spy a quarterback on a play he's never going to run. And then you see yesterday, Ben, how about you just coordinate your defense to get a stop late in that football game, and you don't need that late field goal. But Matt Eberflus's defense that he calls gave up a touchdown yesterday when they couldn't afford to give up one, and the offense could not rescue him. 4-6 on the season. That's a bad loss for them. That could have reset their season altogether. Now you're in one of those the toughest division in football. You're not finding your way to the playoffs now, Chicago.
And we joked about there's probably not an interim offensive coordinator bump for Thomas Brown taking the reins and calling plays. But there kind of was, because of how good they looked on that side of the football, only to have coaching mismanagement cost Chicago again. DRS, I'm not sure you need to do the cheek thing, but McCaskey family, fire the guy. Get a head start. Get his tush out of Chicago. Not sure we can say the other word, so that's why I said that. Anyway, speaking of points and scoring touchdowns, it's all the Lions know how to do against bad teams. Frankly, against anybody, but against really bad teams, they bludgeon them. 52-6. Detroit covers at home yesterday against Jacksonville. Largest spread of the year, 13.5 point favorite. Detroit goes over a total of 47.5 by themselves. What a performance once again for the Lions against a bad team. Sure, it's Jacksonville, they're 2-9, yada, yada, yada. But when you're favored by two touchdowns, go out and win by 46. That's what the Lions did once again.
Lions offense gets a lot of credit, and they always do, and they should. They're ultra talented. But did you know that the Lions have a top three defense in the NFL now, and it's official? I said yesterday on the set, Donnie, do you like the total in this game? I said, no, I don't like the total necessarily because Mac Jones is playing. Just take the team total over for Detroit. They laced up 52 yesterday. Yeah. That's a bad team right now, baby. NFC champions? Could be.
We'll talk more about it on the other side of the break, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, looking back on the Sunday slate. And for the first time this season, we have a change in who that Super Bowl favorite is from two potential teams. Really, since the offseason odds opened up after the Chiefs beat the Niners in Super Bowl 58 for who was going to win Super Bowl 59. It's not KC, first loss of the season yesterday in Buffalo. It's certainly not the even 500 San Francisco 49ers or the Baltimore Ravens or the Buffalo Bills. DRS, the Detroit Lions are a favorite to win a Lombardi Trophy at plus 420. Detroit has never played in a Super Bowl, so of course Detroit has never won a Super Bowl. They did win the NFL championship way back in the late 1950s, but now a favorite to win Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. Does it feel fitting?
It does feel fitting because I've always measured this season saying, okay, we'll worry about the Super Bowl champions later. Let me identify who I love. And Detroit, from the opening up of the season, I did like them. But about, 4 or 5 weeks in the season, you started to see what was going to take place. And that was the Lions probably being the best team in the NFC. So I loaded up on NFC futures for the Detroit Lions. Now, there's no shame. You know me. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Watch them optimistically every single week. They are a really good football team. But I think sometimes what it comes down to is, boy, those teams sometimes are really built for the dome, and the Detroit Lions are. They have one more away game, which I believe is against the Chicago Bears. The rest of the way, if they do have the number one overall seed, they'll never play outdoors outside of that Chicago Bears game. That is a massive, massive win. And also keep in mind, you lose Aiden Hutchinson, which might have been the best pass rusher in the NFL at the time when he went down with an injury. I'm telling you right now, you check on sites like Pro Football Focus, Ben, 1-2 in the NFL, it's the Eagles and the Detroit Lions on defense. So usually it's like, that's a sieve defense where the offense has to always make up for it. That's not the case anymore. And sometimes you get tidal wave games like yesterday, which they've had a few times this year, where the offense just doesn't stop scoring, but the defense is equally as good on the opposite end. The high ceiling for the Detroit Lions is amazing. I love Goff, the quarterback. The best offensive line in football, it's in Detroit. The best 1-2 combination punch in the backfield, it's in Detroit. A true number one wide receiver with Amon St. Brown, and then you take a look at Jamison Williams on the other side, just hitting deep threats. It's the perfect storm on offense with a great play caller. Detroit, absolutely, Ben, should be the favorites to win the Super Bowl right now.
And the Lions found a way to beat the Texans on Sunday night last week, despite five INTs from Jared Goff. Yesterday, not a single pick, 412 yards and four touchdowns. Third best price to win the NFL MVP award. I mentioned it before the year at a 50-1 number, 7-1 right now on Jared Goff. Not bad. Amon-Ra St. Brown, eight consecutive games finding the end zone as well. He had two touchdowns yesterday. So the Lions in pole position in the NFC, minus 280 to be the number one overall seed at 9-1, minus 410 in the division. Team with the second best price, it's Minnesota. The Vikings, a victory yesterday in Nashville, 23-13 against the Titans. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Vikes. They cover that number. They have covered in 7 of their 8 wins this year. Minnesota has won 3 in a row. At times, Donnie, it hasn't been perfect, but the Vikings have built up a great record. They're going to be a playoff team, and Sam Darnold yesterday, 246 yards, 2 touchdowns. 6th time in 9 games this year for Darnold with 240 plus yards to make that 10 games. 3rd game this season without an INT.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive overall, too, because finally you needed that bounce-back performance where you have the sanity comes back in. You're not blowing the football game where the team has to rescue it. You're actually a catalyst for that offense because the running game yesterday wasn't working, only 2.5 yards per rush. And typically in the past couple weeks for Sam Darnold, that could mean 35 passes and 246 yards, 2 touchdowns, but 3 or 4 interceptions. He didn't throw an interception, and that was key. But you get what you get out of Tennessee. On the desk yesterday, do I like this game and lay the number here with the Vikings? Said no, but I thought it was a perfect teaser game, and it was. If you tease the Titans, you won. If you tease the Vikings, you won in that game. That is exactly where I thought it would play out. And yes, still flying under the radar. Those Minnesota Vikings at 8-2 now in the season. Brian Flores has been sensational as that defensive play caller.
And here's the issue with Tennessee, DRS. They're a 2-8 football team, but at times with Mike Vrabel, because they would often play in games that featured like a 3.5-point spread or less on either side, they were a great cover team in close football games. 2-8 this year, no cover in any of the 8 losses, just 1-9 ATS for Tennessee. Again, in the NFC North, there's a lot of really good teams. The Packers are 7-3. The Vikings are 8-2. The Lions are 9-1, but Detroit greater than a $4 favorite to win this division for a second consecutive year. Detroit now 18-7 against the spread as the favored side since the start of last year. It's unheard of. Plenty more from Sunday when Hour 2 begins next.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.